word, for your holy word. And thanks for the Holy Spirit who can make it clear to us. We pray you'd give us understanding and affect our lives for your kingdom, for your purposes. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so this is our third episode in Psalm 119. And does anybody remember anything that we've talked about? I'm having a hard time remembering where I stop. I know where we are, only because I went and listened to the tape, and then an hour later, I couldn't remember where we stopped. It's weird. But anyhow, we stopped. We're at 64 was the last verse we used. quick review. Psalm 119 was written by someone who had too much time on his hands and determined that the beginning letter of the beginning word of every sentence would be according to the Jewish alphabet. We have done so far. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zayin, and Heth. And we're at verse 65. We also determined that there are a number of words here in Hebrew that don't mean what you think they mean. Okay? For example, law. What does law mean? Right. It doesn't mean it's 55 here. If you go 56, you broke the law. This is important. It is critical. It has caused multitudes of Christians to not read the Old Testament because we're not under the law. Well, you're not under the law in the sense of keeping 613 regulations in order to gain spiritual righteousness. But if the law, the Hebrew word for law, really means directions or instructions, don't take this wrong. Well, take it any way you want. You're a fool if you don't follow the instructions of God. How could you follow the God and the instructions if you don't follow his instructions? And so as we look at this and we understand, the law of the Lord is perfect. How many of you believe that God's instructions to you are perfect, even when it conflicts with your will? Except you don't usually believe it while it's conflicting with your will. Only after you recover, okay? And we talked about commandments. What did we say commandments were? That was a real difficult translation to Hebrew. To English, it meant commandments. And then we had another one, which we'll read, but this is where we're going to start again. How about that nasty word, affliction? And it translates affliction. And who afflicts you? Who's in charge of your life? So when bad things happen, is it the devil? Careful. Okay, is there a devil? Yes. And why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the reasons why he came. But you make the devil too big. If you really belong to the living God, then who could touch you? But how is it then that difficulty comes upon you? Let's pick up in verse 63. Thou hast dwelt with thy servant. Does the Lord live with you? I can promise you, if you're really born again and the Lord's not living with you, it's not his fault, okay? Because he wants to. So the only reason the presence of the living God is not, and Jim's going to talk about that today a little bit, the only reason the presence of the living God is not with you is because you have not made a habitation in which he can dwell. So if there's no relationship, if the presence of God is not in your home, in your life, on your job where you work, then it's not his fault. It's yours. Thou hast dwelt with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. See, God will only dwell with you according to his word. He won't do it according to how you want it. Remember, Jesus said to the woman at the well that a time was coming when those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we like that spirit part, but the truth part means, number one, you got to worship the real God. You can't worship a false God or your concept of what this living God is. You have to worship God as he is. And secondly, you have to worship him the way he wants to be worshiped. Okay, thou hast dwelt with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me discernment and knowledge. What's discernment? A wise judgment. Knowing if something's good or bad. And how do you determine if something's good or bad? You have to follow the law of the Lord. Oh, the commandments. Oh, the instructions. I mean, commandments, we said commandments are like, you know, the Ten Commandments, right? And you got them on your lawn, you got them on your refrigerator, but you don't necessarily have them in your heart. Nine of the ten are restated in the New Testament. The tenth, the Sabbath, is fulfilled fully in the Christ. He is your Sabbath rest. You're supposed to be at rest all the time. Okay, or are there any other commandments? Chris asked me if there are any other commandments. In the Old Testament. Yeah, there's. What are the two greatest commandments, they asked Jesus? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself, which is not one of the Ten Commandments. That's Leviticus 19. And there are many other things that you're commanded. Do these things. And some of them are negatives. Don't do these things. But the law is, and it's come to a place where the law, and the word for law is Torah, means the whole body of it. But it's God's instruction, his direction to you. Even if you know you're not supposed to do something, God doesn't just leave you with that. He tells you why you're not supposed to do that in most cases. Sometimes it's over our head. And then he tells you how not to do that. Okay? And we talked about precepts. We talked about all of these different words that will enable us to find the path of God, the ruts, the deep furrows that God has laid out for us. I was at the porch on our house last night, and I looked out there, and the dogs went chasing something up the hill. And I noticed that there was a pathway there. And I've tried to climb the hill, the ridge line by my house, and it'll wear you out trying to get up there. And it's stickers, and, you know, you hit a place, it's soft, and the dogs, obviously under the leadership of God, have created a path for me. And I followed that path, and I was up there without any effort at all. A pathway had been made before me. God has made pathways for us, and that's what's contained in the law. Instructions and directions on how to live out the life successfully. God is not tricksy, and he's not false. He wants you to succeed. Okay, I mean, sometimes that's what the devil said to Eve, basically. God's tricksy and false. He didn't exactly tell you this, and he's holding out on you. He's got stuff for you, and he won't let you have it. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians believe that about their Christian experience. A lot of the things that God won't let us do is just because he's mean. He wants us to jump through hoops or do different things like we're his trained pets. You are sons and daughters of the King. And the only time he withholds things from you is when they're not good for you. That is the nature of the living God. God is love. Okay? Wow, I've gotten one verse. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. Okay, two verses. For I believe in thy commandments. You have to believe in God's commandments. Believe that God's intent for you is good, what we just said. Before I was afflicted, I went, oh, I hate that. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I asked my wife what affliction means. I didn't like her answer. What is affliction? When you're afflicted, can you be... Oh, we watched Fiddler on the Roof last night. And the liberal guy, the progressive guy, says, money is the world's curse. And Tevye says, may God smite me with it, and may I never recover. You could be afflicted by all kinds of things. You know what? Some people are afflicted with money. A lot of Christians have this Christian guilt thing. You know, oh, we're wealthy, we're living here in America, and there's all those poor people in the third world. We have so much. And a lot of that's been perpetrated by pastors who are trying to reach into your pocket and get you to support things And you know what? God doesn't want your money that way, and he doesn't need it. He wants your heart to motivate your actions, not your actions to be moved by a guilty conscience. Okay? So I would say that there are a lot of people that are afflicted with money. They are. You can be afflicted with anything that's put upon you. And you can have, you see, if you're poor and you really, really believe, then you get up in the morning and you cry out and you say, God, I'm poor. My family, could you give us food today? Could you give us a place to stay? Could you protect us from those that would oppress us? And those are simple prayers. You always know what to pray, right? But now, what if you have more than you need, which most of us do? Do I have liberty to buy the widescreen TV? How many times can I go out to dinner a week and it not be gluttony and lust? These are more mature questions. It's no easier to be a Christian here than it is to be a Christian in the third world. It's the same thing. It's you and Christ, and you and the brethren. The two primary relationships are still the same. Relationship with the living God, relationship with the body. Makes the crossbar of the cross. It's no different. So before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. You know, a time is coming where you're really going to have to come to grips with the fact that, A, God has really got a plan. B, you are involved in it. And C, it's not going to be your choice. And the things that he sends along to you come from his hand, including some of the difficulties. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You want to go astray? I don't want to go astray. I made a determination. I didn't know what I was doing. On a motorcycle in 1970, on April Fool's Day, stopped at a traffic light that this was real and I wanted it. Being Jewish, I had no concept of what I was getting involved in. I think at this point, I still have no real concept of what I got involved in. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. God is good. God is good. God is good. He's not good sometimes. He's always good. Now, I've heard that. God is good. Always. And that means that God's going to give me stuff. No, it doesn't. It's not all about you. Remember we talked about what I call that great experiment, free will, something I would never have given any of you free will. And God did it because he saw something. Was God like unhappy before the creation? It was boring. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were bored, so they needed to do something new. No. But God had a thought that he would have somebody to pour out his love upon. And apparently, in God's mind, the only way that it really worked is if you could only love by choice. And so he gave you free will, knowing full well that you very likely would. And I say you, because how many of you know if you were Adam and Eve in the garden, the result would have been the same? I know that. And I would have made the same excuses, that woman, and she would have said the same things, the snake. But the reality is, we are who we are. But God, knowing all that, still chose to give us this opportunity because he saw something special. It's not about you. It's never been about you. Salvation is a side benefit for those who choose to love God. The reality is God. So, what verse am I in? Not making much progress here. Thank you. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe thy precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in thy law, your instructions. You can cover your heart with fat. What is fat? What is it? Maybe. It's excess. Fat is excess. It's more than you need. Especially if it covers your heart. So if the abundance of what you have covers your heart, then it's between you and God. But this fellow, hopefully us, observes God's precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in thy law and thy instructions. It's good for me that I was afflicted. Twice in the same little section he says that. Note to self, do not read Teth again. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. What's a statute? A decree. Okay. God says this. This will happen. I'm trying not to use the word law. I think commandments are probably the closest to law as we understand it. Do this, don't do that. A statute is more of a proclamation of what's going to happen. It's akin to a testimony, which is another word we have in here. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Are you sold out to God's instructions and his ways, or are you building your own kingdom? Yod, thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. You know, you really do need to know God's commandments. And they're not just the 10. There are a lot of commandments that God set out, and they're for your benefit. May those who fear thee see me and be glad, because I wait for thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are righteous. God's judgments, what's a judgment? At the end of the trial, there's a judgment, a decision. Do you know that God's judgments are righteous? What's righteous? They're right. God's judgments are right. Okay, how many of you lost a loved one recently? Well, I didn't exactly mean that way, but okay. All right, as you well know, most of you know, that we went through 3 years and then the Lord took Galena home. So a lot of people fall apart when God does something that they don't want them to do, when he makes a final decision that they don't like, which really should show you who's on the throne of your life. You need to know that that God's judgments are right, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Who has the best plan for your life? You sure? I got some really cool plans. Oh, come on now. I've worked on them for 2 or 3 months at least. They're good plans. Okay, you're a teenager. But we're all like teenagers. You know what I always say teenagers are like? Teenagers are like people inside of a big bowl. They can see their environment, but they can only see just so far. And they have no idea what's on the other side of the lip of the bowl. What's on the table that the bowl's sitting on? Teenagers can't know that because of their limited life experience. You just have a bigger bowl by your life experience. You still don't know. I was listening to the recording from last week, and I said something about being older and being closer to the end of the race. And then I said, but who really knows that? Because you don't know that. You don't know if you're getting up tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I heard Chris and Deb's house burnt down. They didn't know that the day before. Did you? Wow, I wonder what would happen if our house burnt down. It was completely out of the realm of possibility in their mind. You don't know. So you just live in a little bit bigger bowl. In faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Oh, may thy loving kindness comfort me according to thy word and thy servant. May thy compassion come to me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Do you delight in God's instruction and his adjustments, his direction? Do you delight in it? Not just will you tolerate it. Well, God's okay. I'll do it anyway. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie. But I shall meditate on thy precepts. I think a lot of times Christians are arrogant. I hear the bell. Make it go away. Okay. Sometimes we're really arrogant. We're the chosen people. We're God's people. Whatever that means. We have to be careful about that. Because a lot of times the people that we're arrogant towards are other believers. I pray that God would help us to meditate on his precepts, the things that he says are right. Verse 79, may those who fear thee turn to me, even those who know thy testimonies. What is a testimony? Let's go back to court. What can you testify about? You can only you can't testify about truth. It's unacceptable. It doesn't matter. Subjective. You can only testify to things you have personally seen or know about by direct contact. Otherwise, it's hearsay. So God's testimonies, using that same measurement, are things that he knows are going to happen. Of course, he knows everything that's going to happen. But when God testifies about something, take it to the bank. The Proverbs are full of testimonies of God. If you live this way, this is what will happen to you. If you live this way, this is what's going to happen. Don't live this way, because this is what will happen to you. God's testimonies. May my heart be blameless in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Can your heart be blameless? Can you actually have a clear conscience? Is that possible? I say yes. Yes, you can. I love the music these cell phones make. So exciting. You can be blameless before the living God. How do you do that? Follow his instructions. Learn his commandments. Become aware of his statutes. Observe his testimonies and make your life go according to those things. Or live on your own. Take your fire insurance and let me know if that works out for you. Kaf, verse 81. My soul languishes for thy salvation. I wait for thy word. What does languishes mean? What? Yearns. My soul yearns for thy salvation. Wait a minute, I thought you guys were saved. How many of you are saved? Really? That's not what Peter says. He says you receive the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You're all born again, or you're just getting saved. And I'll tell you what, my soul yearns for the salvation of the Lord. I wait on his word. Yeah, I know, that was another one of those tricky things. But you know what? We've developed our own language, and sometimes it's not according to what the scripture actually says. We've turned being saved into a one-time experience. Being born again now gives you the authority, according to John 1:12, to become sons of God. And Peter says you receive salvation, or the great Hosanna, as the outcome of your faith. You're in the middle of getting saved. How's God saving you? It was good that I was afflicted. That's how he saves you. Where do we grow fruit? All right. What about gifts? What do gifts teach us? How generous the giver is. What does fruit tell us? The health of the plant. Okay? You are the planting of the Lord. God is not trying to grow gifts in you. He's trying to grow fruit in you. Where do plants grow? They're afflicted in the dirt. Where are you growing? In a fearful, fallen place. Sometimes you have sun. Sometimes you have too much sun. Sometimes you have rain. Sometimes you have too much rain. If the plant survives the adverse conditions, it gets strong. It puts its roots down deep. And the fruit that comes from that is really got depth of character built into it. It was good that I was afflicted, so I could be formed into the image of the living God. My soul yearns for thy salvation. I wait for thy word. Do you wait for God's word, or are you busy doing it on your own? This is really an important thing. God wants to be heard and directed. Remember we talked, I don't know, I've been teaching so long and they all run together. Okay, you're all part of the family business. Remember this? That's what happened when you were born again. God grafted you into the family. He gave you a signet ring, a little one, but it still got the signet on it. Put his cloak around you, said you're part of the family. Well, now that you're part of the family, you show up for work Monday morning and you're ready to do the work of God. And you say, God, the people got to get saved out there. Look at how messed up it is. He says, son, I need you to sweep up behind the counter. Oh, okay. So you sweep up behind the counter. All right, that's all I need from you today. Go home. And then the next day you come in and you're like, Lord, the hospitals are full of sick people. We need to go heal them. And he says, you know, the windows are kind of dirty. And you have to clean the windows. You missed a spot. And you learn to do those things that God wants you to do because you're now part of the family business. And you don't get to determine what it is that you do. Judaism's easy. You got 613 rules and regulations. You can keep score. Christianity, you got to find out what God wants you to do today. And what he wants you to do today may not be exactly what he wanted you to do yesterday. He might want you to do the same thing you did yesterday, but he wants you to do it a different way. Because he's God and you're not. Are you willing to wait for God's word? My soul, I just love your salvation. I'm just waiting upon it, waiting on your word. My eyes fail with longing for thy word. While I say, when will thou comfort me? Lord, let me know it's right, it's good. Though I've become like a wineskin in smoke, I do not forget thy statutes. So you wait on the Lord. He gives you a word. It's happy day. You wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord. And you start to dry out. How long are you willing to wait on the Lord? How big's your God? Are you willing to crash and burn while faithfully waiting for God, if he so wills? Or do you have a certain level at which time you pull the ripcord? Hey, I gave him as long as I could. You remember the story about Saul, and he's waiting on the Lord to, he's supposed to go there and offer a sacrifice, but he's supposed to wait for Samuel. And as soon as he pulled the trigger himself, Samuel showed up. And God said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. But Lord, look at all the things we're doing for you. Doesn't that sound akin to, we cast out devils, we did these things in your name, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you? This isn't a game. This is Christianity 101. He's God, you're not. He didn't save you for your great abilities. He saved you because he loves you. And he wants you to be formed into the image of the living God. He wants you to do like Jesus said in John 6 through 8. I only do the things I see my Father do. Outside of that, I have no power. Though I become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on those who persecute me? When's God going to make it all right? How many of you like the grace of God? How many of you know that the grace of God is poured out on all mankind? How do you know that? Because he has not incinerated the world yet. And that is why we know that the grace of God is poured out on all men. If it was up to me, I got 8 or 10 people and it'd be over. I'm not that gracious. But God is, and so he withholds his judgment, but there is a day of judgment coming. The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. A commandment is faithful. God says this is how it's supposed to be done. It's a faithful fulfillment of what he wants. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake thy precepts. Revive me according to thy loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of thy mouth. Some people will tell you if you live in a godly fashion, everything's going to go really well for you, and that's the validation of the living God. And that flies in the face of the Hall of Fame, which would be Hebrews 11. All of those people listed there who faithfully carried out what God wanted, most of whom had a bad outcome. I'm not telling you if you follow God, you will have a bad outcome, because all of those people ultimately have a wonderful outcome. I'm telling you that don't think of God in a worldly fashion, because he's not really interested in this world except as a field from which he is drawing sons and daughters for eternity. All men can get saved if they choose to. But out of the midst of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, he's pulling a priesthood for himself, for eternity. And even in the midst of being a wineskin, if you love God and you wait on him, you still have his living presence. You still get to experience what really makes you satisfied, which is God. Lamed, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Know that for certain, people of God. God's word is settled. When people say, I read the end of the book, that's really what they're saying. God's word is settled. What he says will happen is going to happen. And if you will faithfully follow through, learn his precepts, observe his testimonies, follow the instruction of the living God, you will have a good end. Thy faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Thou didst establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to thy ordinances, for all things are thy servants. All things are God's servants. Is anything excluded from all? Thorn bushes are working the work of God. Everything is the servant of God. If thy law or your instructions and direction had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Do you understand that? If in your heart of hearts, finding out the will of God and how he does business and what he wants for you and what's the best way to go, if that becomes your delight, then you will be able to go through anything. And if not, you will perish in your affliction. Isn't that what God's trying to get you to do, is to love him? He doesn't need you to do stuff. He gives you stuff to do so you can be part of the family business and you can grow and understand his ways and become like him. He doesn't need you to do that. How long did it take God to make the world? 6 days. He could have started over. It wouldn't have been a big effort. Who would there have been to say, why'd you do that, God? I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider thy testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Thy commandment is exceedingly broad. Let me count for a minute. One more. Mem. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Okay, so if law is just rules and regulations, oh, how I love your rules and regulations. But if it's God's direction and his instruction, oh, how I love your direction and instruction. It's my meditation all the day. I spend my day, I don't know how you guys are, okay? I mean, I'm driving around in my big truck, and I got a lot of windshield time, as they call it. And I got a lot of time where I'm just going, wow, God. And observing the outcome of the direction and instruction of God and how it plays out. I love that. I love that my dad knows what he's doing. I'm excited. You know, I'm pretty good at doing some things. I've developed some things over the years that I'm good at. My dad's good at everything. And I want to be like him. I want people to look at me and go, wow, you look like your dad. Don't you? I do. You've got your father's eyes. Wow. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers. I pray to God that you guys have more insight than I have. Because you know what? I got more insight than some people I used to sit under. I know that because God's given it to me. And my wife will tell you that I won't say I'm not proud. I'm not proud in that, though. Okay? I have my wife to help me with my pride issues. Now, how was that? Was that a great word? Yeah, it was all right. Did I do good today? Yeah, you were fine, thanks. Let's go. Where are we going to eat? Listen, let me tell you something. If you're married, God gave you your wife. And two become one. And you balance each other. And you should be busy unlocking the locked up places of each other's lives. Not busy putting extra padlocks on each other. You should be liberating each other, setting each other free, not trying to outdo each other and not trying to be each other, but being the reciprocal portion of God making you one. Anyway, where was I? Whew, boy, easily lost. Thanks. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So what God says is going to happen is what I meditate on. How many of you have gone through the Proverbs one at a time per calendar day? I recommend you do it. Maybe not for the rest of your life, but do it for a while. Because it's full of the testimonies of God. And don't you want to know what the testimonies of God are? What God says will happen if you live a certain way? What a great thing to do. And meditate on them. You know, you don't have to cross your legs and make yourself in a pretzel like we did in the 60s. Ooh, make funny noises and stuff. That won't get God's attention. It's what you dwell on, what you allow to wash through your mind. Meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed thy precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. You know, when you're going to live the life that God calls you to do, it may actually have actions attached to it. If you just fill your head up, even if you fill your heart up, you still have to walk it out. There are still times where you have to keep yourself from an evil way. What did we say a way was? We talked about the ways of God. It is the way he does things, but let's just for a pictorial graphic, make it a pathway. Like that pathway that my dogs created for me to go up the hill. And when I learn the ways of God and I walk in his ways, the way he does business, it's better for me. When I follow my own ways, then I get my own results. The only time my ways are good is when they're in harmony with God's ways. And I've worked for 37 years. Sometimes I've worked, sometimes I've been drugged, sometimes I've been goaded to line my ways up with the ways of God. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thy ordinances, for thou thyself hast taught me. Isn't it wonderful that the living God is willing to teach you? Why did Jesus go back to heaven, besides the fact that he had to fulfill what God had called him to do? You remember why you're here, right? Why are you all living here in this difficult place? Because Jesus prayed for you in John 17. And he said, Father, leave them there. You've read that prayer, right? I pray not that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. That's Jesus saying, Father, leave them in the fearful fallen place. Just keep them from the evil one. Okay, so you're here because God left you here on purpose so that you would be able to learn his ways in the midst of this fearful fallen place. That's where you are, and that's why you're here. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And I pulled the microphone off. Sorry. Yeah, I know. So sorry about that. We're going to stop right there. Have you come to a place where you hate false ways? You know, some false ways are clear right in the beginning. Those aren't the ones that really, really bother me. The ones that bother me are the ones that I follow for a prolonged period of time only to find out that they're false ways. And sometimes I can't tell. How many of you followed a false way that you didn't know was false? Why didn't you know it was false? Or maybe you didn't even ask. You weren't listening or you didn't ask. That's why we have to follow the ways of the Lord. Now, some ways are clearly false, okay? A commandment of God, thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't care how good she looks. I don't care how mean your wife is to you. I don't care how stressful your life is. That's a false way, and it's clearly laid out. Thou shalt not. Some of them are a little more obscure. But they're still false ways. Now, God will protect you from those false ways through a number of devices that he uses. One, the law of the Lord is perfect, his instructions and directions. Two, commandments, don't do this, do this. Three, precepts. Four, testimonies. If you live this way, this will happen. Five, relationships. Chris, I really don't think, you don't mind. I really don't think you should do that. That's probably not a good thing for you to do. Yeah, but the door's open. Yeah, but there might be a lion back in the back room. When I develop relationships with people, I might be the one that hears the Lord for that other person. And in the midst of that, I hate every false way. I don't want to waste my time. I think it's really great when people repent before they die, but I think it's really a waste of all the time when they weren't repentant. I mean, hallelujah for the 11:30 salvation. But wouldn't it have been better if it had happened at the crack of dawn and you could have lived your life for the living God? That's what I want. I hate every false way. I want to find the right way. And I want as many people as I'm connected with to be on the beam, going that narrow path, walking on. That's why I delight in the law of the Lord, because it's his instruction and it's his direction. Let's stop there and pray. Lord God, thanks for your word. Help us as we read. I know I'm going over these words again and again, but if they would leap out to us as we read them and we would think according to your ways, that we could be instructed and your word and your ways would be our delight. Help us to be what pleases you in the name of Jesus. Amen.